Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia. And we're coming to you live
from the 757,
where we discuss real estate, culture,
and current events.
Hey, what's going on, Sophia? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing well.
We made it.
We did. Soldier Boy say, we made it. We here.
We are here today.
Yeah, man.
It's been an interesting week.
Yeah, it has. It definitely has been an interesting week. How was your last weekend this week? I know last time, first of all, I guess, how is your son doing? I remember you said that.
He doing good. So we went and got his stitches removed on Sunday. So his head is put back together.
Okay.
And he actually got a haircut for the first time yesterday.
Okay.
So that's good. It's just like this big scar that's in the middle of his head, but...
So it's going that direction? It's going like across?
It's like diagonal.
Diagonal, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So when it was kind of cut like, kind of like a half moon, not too straight, but not too circular.
Okay.
Yeah. So it looks a lot better, and it's pretty flush. I think it's going to heal wonderfully, honestly.
Yeah, it's probably, I'm assuming you think it's going to be a scar. Like,
Maybe a little scar. Okay. Yeah, nothing too, I mean, you know, soon I'm going to start putting cocoa butter on it, so
yeah,
that'll definitely help.
Love that.
The first lady who stitched him up, she's like, you can put some sunscreen, that helps. And I was just looking at her like, yeah, you don't help black people too much. So then when I went and got the stitches, took it out, it was another guy who was white. He was like, yeah, put some cocoa butter. I said, your wife must be black.
that is funny, though. That's funny, though, like how people respond to certain things.
Yeah.
That does tell you, like, a little bit about them as far as, like, what they're accustomed to and who they're accustomed to being around.
Exactly.
Stuff. So
exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, we did that, and then I took the kids to Sweet Frog, the two little ones. We went to Sweet Frog, and we had Sweet Frog. We went to Mount Trashmore, and I think that's about it. That's all we did, so we didn't really do too much because I was scared that he was going to, like, trip and just fall, just something so silly but could be so detrimental to his forehead. So
yeah, no, that makes sense.
I was like, don't run, sit down. I felt like I was saying that 24/7.
You was what do you call it, helicopter parenting, like, you know, as far as like making sure he wasn't like,
yes, you know. I'm like, sit down, relax, sit back, put the ice on your hand. So yeah, he was just all over the place, and he just one time he like, I don't know if he, like, tripped over his own feet. Oh, no, he was trying to take off his pants. You know, sometimes, like, if you step out of the wrong way, you trip.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I, like, grabbed him. And he was like, whew, Bobby, you saved my life.
You saved my life. That's funny.
He's funny, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Yeah. Glad to hear he's doing better, man.
Yeah, he is doing a whole lot better.
That's good.
Yeah. And then my oldest, she, first year of high school, freshman year, she made... principal's honor roll.
Okay.
In the science and medicine program.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good, man. Especially freshman year, man. I know for me in high school, my freshman year was tough. That was the year academically I guess the worst. I mean, I never really had bad grades, but that was the most challenging year for me, just because, you know, it was tougher. It's just now the more onus, like the difference between middle school and high school as far as the responsibility part of it.
Because it's all you.
Yeah. Then I was playing sports, as I know your daughter does as well. Mm-hmm. And that joint is draining because, like, the level of practice that I came from middle school to high school, that's totally different as well. We practice every day in middle school, but it was very light. It wasn't nothing like demanding like that for real. Like high school, it was a lot bigger, you know what I mean? Way more demanding. So yeah, I know how that could suffer, and I know she's taking some pretty, like, I guess, like, advanced classes,
yeah.
She told me. So, you know, just academically, that part also was challenging on top of all the different things you got to work through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she got through it first semester.
That's good.
I was proud. I said, okay, let's keep this going.
Yeah. No, she's starting off on a good foot. That's good. That's always good. Yeah.
Yeah, and so next week we're actually going on a college tour, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, where are you going? Let's go. Oh, Howard. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
University.
Yeah. I remember when I played football. Howard actually was one of the schools that recruited me. They came, it's crazy. They came to a, one of their recruiters came to one of my basketball games. So actually, they were there to recruit someone else, and I actually had a really, really good basketball game. Mm-hmm. And so that recruit, which was about their basketball recruiter. So their basketball recruiter was like, hey, you know, I was kind of short or whatever. So they weren't like, they just saw I was an athlete. So they told their football, I guess, recruiter or coach or whatever about me. And then, you know, I actually spoke to them, and we had a visit there, went to Howard, went to one of the games and everything like that. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, Howard's a good school, man. I mean, I know back when I was in high school, though, like, it's right there, like you said, in the D.C. area. So it's like, I know at the time, it was a lot of, like, just nonsense going on. Because, you know, D.C. can kind of be kind of crazy a little bit, you know. But I've heard it's gotten a lot better, though. Yeah, I've heard it's gotten a lot better, you know, over the years. You know, a lot of alumni and just the areas, you know, the community and the boosters have put more money into the school. So
yep.
I will say, though, they're not the real HU, though. Hampton is the real HU. I know that's like a big thing, but who's the real HU when it comes to HBCU? So shout out to Howard, but Hampton is a real HU.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
That should be cool, though.
So what you got going on? Hold on.
last weekend, I went down to the Outer Banks. We kind of got the house ready for this upcoming rental season. So just kind of cleaned it out, you know, washed like the linens and stuff. Now the property management company, man, that we have it through, they offered to do that stuff, but like it costs like $800 or something like that to like do all these things that like, yo, we can easily just do ourselves. Like it's like, you know, put like a new plunger and put, you know, just new toilet paper. Just little basic things that we could all buy at the store for like $40-$50 and just, you know, take an hour of our time to do it instead of cost, you know, spending $800 for them to do it or whatever. So
and still get a vacation out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we went down there. We always try to go down there right before the season starts as well. So we went down there. It was cool. We ate at this spot that we've been down there. This is our second time checking it out, called the Paper Canoe. It was really, really nice. It's right there off the water. So we had a really, really good time there eating. And it was funny because my daughter, she was kind of not feeling the greatest because she didn't go to school that day on Friday. So the restaurant's kind of fancy, I guess, a little bit. It's like, I mean, it's family friendly, but it's like, you know, it's date nightish. You know what I mean? And it was funny, like, my daughter kind of had like a little cough, and the person behind us, I could tell, like, a couple times was like looking at her because she was coughing, which I get, but it was just kind of a little funny thing because she coughed like really, really loud one time. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, we was down there for the weekend, you know, got the space cleaned up, ate at Paper Canoe, ate at an off-the-wall tap house, is a place we also like to go to as well. We ate there on Saturday, did a whole bunch of cleaning and just kind of relax and chill, you know what I mean? Play some games with the kids and everything, play like Jenga and some of those other board games that they wanted to play that's there that we bought for the people who stay there. But yeah, it was cool. Weekend was cool. It was a good family weekend.
Nice. And then next week you're going to
St. Thomas.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
That's gonna be nice.
Yeah. Definitely looking forward to that.
I can't even imagine what the weather's like. It's gonna be perfect, I bet. Because unless it rains.
The only thing about there out there in St. Thomas is windy. You know, which, you know, a lot of tropical places, that's kind of how it gets because it's off. You know, you're on the island out.
Because we're right at. It's not quite hurricane season yet, but I mean,
yeah,
I'm almost there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now I looked at the weather. Matter of fact, here you go. Right here. See, it's no rain. It's just windy and windy. 82 every 82, 83. It doesn't change the degree every day. Yeah. Lowest is 78. So you literally just.
Yeah.
Perfect weather. Yeah. So.
This time of year is perfect weather.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Brooke's really looking forward to it. She's been talking about it. You know, we're going with the Atlantic Bay. It's like, hey, every year they do a sales trip, you know, based on a certain amount of sales you get and different things of that nature. And so I was able to make it this year. And I'm excited, man. Like I said, it should be a good time. You know, we always go out there. The good thing about it, too, what I'll say is when we go out there, we have fun. You know, they take care of us, you know, all expenses, everything. But one thing I will say that's also pretty cool as well is, like, we mastermind while we're out there, too. So, like, a lot of, you know, the top producers, they're out there with their spouses or with their significant others. But we actually like get together for dinners and kind of coordinate those things. And Atlanta Bay actually has things in place for us as well, where we can, you know, get together, kind of share just best practices and things of that nature. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. I'm always looking forward to trying to up my game a little bit, you know. So,
absolutely.
So that should be fun. That should definitely be fun. But yeah. Good things on the horizon.
Yeah. Any more news this week?
I mean, we had the PPI came out. I think it was yesterday, actually. We got hit, man. I got a couple of buyers that I'm working with.
The PPI is the... Price index?
The producer price index.
Producer, okay.
Yeah, producer price. Yeah, it measures the average change over time in the selling prices received by domestic producers for their input, or for the output, I'm saying.
Yeah,
so that came out yesterday, and it still kind of showed inflation was, you know, not where, you know, they wanted to be, you know, for this month. That's a month. They normally look at that data month over month. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once that information that, you know, came out, it had a negative response when it comes to the bond market. So, rates did go up about a little over a quarter of a point yesterday. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of buyers that, and I was on the phone. I got one guy, it was funny. He actually called me this morning. We were talking, guy helping him and his fiance, they're closing on a home later this month. Mm-hmm. And so we've been playing the game of like, should I lock the rate or should I, you know, wait or whatever. Yeah. And so it's funny because he's like, hey, I'm not a gambling man. And I actually told him to lock the rate a long time ago. Okay, at one point, we were like, for his particular situation, we were like a 6.99. And, you know, I was like, man, you should lock it. And he was like, man, I think I can get a little bit lower. I was like, all right. And then, you know, now since rates have went up, now he's at 7.25. And so, you know, he hit me up this morning talking about, you know, looking at potentially trying to buy the rate down and all that. So now that waiting is going to potentially cost them some money, you know, when it comes to that. So, yeah, it's funny, man. It's crazy, like, how the market is and how, you know, locking a rate and when not to lock a rate and how those things can...
Yeah, just one conversation in Congress or one report can come out and it can make a major impact in what the rates are for that particular day. I locked the rate the day before that came out.
Yeah, so. I got like a couple of people who I'm trying to help. I actually locked two. I got a couple of closes, quite a few actually that are closing at the end of this month and even some early in April. Mm-hmm. And everybody I talked to, I was trying to get them to lock early this week. And I had two people, him and another person, were like, hey, let's hold out.
Yeah.
The other one was the one that closes, one of them closes in April. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have that much time. He's closing on the 25th, so he got like 10 days.
Yeah. I know one lady who's closing at the end of April, and we're pretty much floating, too.
Yeah. I mean, we got that much time, and there is a lot of information that's coming up.
60 days. We had 60-plus days. She was at, like, 70-some days. We're not even within 30 days of...
Yeah.
So she has time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But it's... I was telling him, it was funny. We were talking about it this morning when he called. We were like, man, it's like playing blackjack. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the table, you got the dealer. And they give you your cards. You see what the dealer's cards are. And it's like, hey, do you want them to hit you?
Yeah.
Or do you want to, you know, as light as you be at the table, they say, you know, that means hit. Or if you say you out, you go like that. But, yeah, he said he's not a gambler, man, but he's gambling with this one. So it seems like it's going to cost him a couple of dollars. But hopefully we'll see rates come back a little bit, you know.
I got good faith that he'll get back to where it was.
Yeah. So definitely hoping for that.
Most definitely.
Yeah, but outside of that, I mean – this week was pretty busy. Like I said, we've kind of talked about over the last couple of weeks, applications have definitely been being picked up, I would say. I've definitely gotten more applications over the last couple of weeks. You know, I got a buyer who's closing at the end of the month. I'm really excited for them. One thing I did was, and this is something that I think some folks don't even know about. You know, we always talk about VA purchases, right, because of the presence of the military here where we are locally. But dual entitlement, I think we can kind of talk about that a little bit because I have a couple who are both veterans, 100% disabled veterans from the Navy, and they're not married. They are engaged, and they both have their own individual entitlement, right, to purchase a home. Now, I think some folks out there know that when it comes to a VA loan, you know, you have to be married, right, when you purchase a home. So, like, if you have two people on there, you can't have, like, you know.
VA don't allow you to shack up.
Yeah, they don't. You can't just be like your girlfriend.
I'm just playing.
Yeah, you can't be like your girlfriend.
Buy with a girlfriend.
Yeah, you can't buy with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want that person, you know, to be on the loan with you and have their income matter and help you with the buying power, you guys have to be married.
Or
there are things like
you have to be a veteran.
Yeah, or a veteran yourself. Exactly. So that's the thing that I wanted to kind of just touch on a little bit. I'll let Sophia expound on a little bit more. Is dual entitlement, because this is something that I've heard about. I haven't had many situations where this happened. I've actually had situations before where there was a person who was not married. I mean, they were boyfriend and girlfriend or engaged, and the spouse was not military, right? But they really, really needed her income to help buy this house that they wanted. So they were going to get married like 6 months like later on. But they went ahead and got married legally, you know, right then and there, so they can buy the home.
I've had that happen before.
Yeah. I've actually had that happen, you know, a good amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, with both of them being, you know, veterans and both of them having their own entitlement, we're doing dual entitlement with them. So what they're doing is taking a portion of the borrower's entitlement and a portion of the co-borrower's entitlement, and basically merging a portion of both of their entitlement to create the entitlement that's needed for this purchase.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, I know a lot of people out there, I think a lot of people out there who are military, they've heard about, you know, you have to be married. But, you know, maybe you're in a situation where you're not quite there marriage-wise, but you're ready to, you know, buy a house together. And, you know, a lot of times you do have military people, you know, that end up marrying each other or dating or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you have two people that are willing to use their entitlement, but not necessarily at that point where they're willing to get married, you can still, you know, use both of you guys' entitlement and get a VA loan and use both of your income as well. So,
yeah. And now if you are married, however, and both of you are both veterans, then I only encourage you to use one person's entitlement at a time.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because if you're not exempt from that funding fee, that exemption is going to show up on your certificate of eligibility. It's not guesswork. You don't have to go out and try to, like, find this information. If you're a military person and you pull a copy of your certificate of eligibility, it'll tell you right on there if you're exempt or not.
Yeah.
But for my people who are not exempt, the first time you use that VA loan right now in 2024 of this month, because it can always change, that funding fee is 2.15%.
Yeah.
So that's on your first purchase. So if you buy another home, then that funding fee is 3.3%.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take advantage of one person who's a veteran and you guys are married, you can utilize the 2.15% funding fee. And then if you guys upgrade or move and you buy another home, then you can use the other person's entitlement and take advantage of that 2.15% as for a second time.
Absolutely.
So there are advantages of actually being married and both of you having entitlement and utilizing the entitlement in that way. You just have to make sure that you talk to someone who really knows that VA loan product and who can help you. I would say that when it comes to the VA loan, I would call myself an expert. I would say
she's an expert.
VA loan. That's probably my bread and butter. I do 95% of VA loans.
Sophia's definitely the go-to when it comes to the VA buyers. I mean, I know I pick her brain all the time when I have things. I mean, she's helped me deals that I thought that I couldn't do. She was like, oh, no, you just got to do it this way, mm-hmm. you know? Sophia, I mean, you're married to a person that's in the military.
I am.
So, I mean, you know, having that personal experience, I would say. I even heard people, I know I'm not a military, you know, my dad was military, but I've even heard, just like how we mentioned people getting married for the VA benefit as far as purchasing, I've heard people also getting married just so that one person who's serving can get their higher housing. Is that right? As well, have you heard about that before? Have people do that?
Yeah, I've heard that before, but
I think they get honestly, a pay increase, like, right, if they're married versus not married, right?
Not really? Yes, but okay. No. Okay. So you don't get a pay increase on your base pay.
Yeah.
You just get a pay increase on the housing.
Yeah.
The pay increase is only like a few $100, and it's not per person. So if you have, let's say, for example, you are a single person in the military and you have a child, but you don't get married, you still get that same pay increase.
Mm-hmm.
If you get married and you have a child and you guys have 10 children, it's still the same pay increase.
Yeah.
It's not like they're giving you a subsidy for each individual child because you keep having kids. Oh, we're going to give you extra $200-$300 per child. It's not like that.
Yeah.
At all.
I think the situations that I've seen it more for was like young couples, you know what I'm saying? Young couples where the other person maybe wasn't working, you know, and then they solely relying upon. So they may kind of rush along to be married a little bit earlier just to get that gain in income, you know what I'm saying? So I have heard about
benefits. I think that when people do it in that particular circumstance, if someone isn't working, you have to have medical coverage.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's more so the medical benefit.
That makes sense.
Than the housing increase, because that's not much. Really, it's like a couple $100. It's not much at all. She can go out and do Uber for me.
That's a fact.
You know, like,
yeah, that's
the
a fact.
Person in the relationship could go out and do frivolous work to make that money. They can go cut grass to make that amount of money monthly if they really want to.
Speaking of this, this is actually will be kind of a lead in to something that we're going to talk about, but excuse me, I got a question for you. There's a show that I've watched called Married at First Sight.
Okay. I never seen
it. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of crazy,
actually. So when they marry you at first sight?
You know what? That's exactly right. How did you know? How did you know what I was seeing?
You know.
Oh, man. Those context clues, man. I tell you, boy. My teacher always told me that it would go a long way.
It would.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so the show is crazy because you got these experts that match these people. Like, so you got these singles, single men, single women.
Based on their personality?
Yeah, based on their personality. They'll have conversations with them, talk to them, say what their pet peeves are, what they like, what they don't like. And so these marriage experts, they match these people. And so the first time you actually see the person is when you're at the altar. So the man will be standing at the altar. It's a real live wedding. It's an official wedding. And the woman comes out. And then the first time they see that person.
You know what? I think I caught like one episode of this. And it was a black girl. And she saw her spouse. And he was good looking. And she was like, whoop. She was like so relieved.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot on that show. Like they look at like, you know, and it's crazy because with that show, a lot of times, because there hasn't been any type of communication between the two people, like, sometimes people just mentally check out. If the person's not attractive to them, like, if they don't feel the person's attractive when they walk down the altar, like, it immediately, you know, they're just like, and they just, you know, it doesn't work out or whatnot. But bringing it back to my point I was going to try to make is I remember watching an episode on that show, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a woman who was, I believe she wasn't working. I think she was still in school, right?
Okay.
But she got on the Married at First Sight show, and the person that she ended up getting matched with and marrying and meeting at the altar was a doctor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a conversation that they were having because they were both, like, I forget his ethnicity, and I forget hers. But anyway, the woman really, really wanted to be on his insurance, like day two. Like, they met each other, talked about what they liked, what they didn't like. And then she was like, hey, let me be on your insurance. But the husband wanted her to take his name, his last name, fully, right? So, you know, not have it not being hyphenated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like a really big hiccup in their trying to get to know each other, trying to like actually, I guess, stay married. Because on that show, you have 8 weeks to kind of be married and you know, work out with each other and figure out. And then after 8 weeks, you make a final decision if you want to stay married with that person, right? And one of their biggest challenges was the name, right? And so I know you have a hyphenated name. Was that ever like an issue for you at all? Like, let's say if you're, I mean, I don't know how the conversation went with you and your husband, but let's say if your husband was like, yo, I'm not down with that. Like, how would you feel about that?
I'll just have a long-ass middle name.
So you would just move it to your middle name is what you're saying then?
Yeah. Nope. I already have two names as a middle name, so I'll have three.
Gotcha.
And then when I sign my name, it will say Kifle Baker without the hyphen.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay, so that's your workaround when it comes to that. Okay.
Exactly.
So you would just always include your middle name.
Always.
That's kind of petty, but that's funny, though. That is actually funny. That's funny. But so I just think it was.
It'll still be.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yes, that's a fact. No, I just thought it was funny because, you know, we were just talking about that. And then, like, I thought it was, like, the woman was so, like, hey, I'm not dropping my maiden name. Like, I want to have it on there, right? And
but, see,
but she was also like, hey, I want to be on your insurance. He was like, well, look, if you want to be on my insurance, then you need to take my name. Like, I'm, we're married, like, you know, whatever. And that was like, she was looking at it like, I feel like that's kind of almost like equal things, I feel like. I mean, how do you feel about that? Like, I feel like that was kind of like almost equal things. Like, he was asking for one thing and she was asking for something. And I felt like they both could have like said, okay, like, you know, that's kind of like compromising, I guess you could say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or she could have came up and said, hey, you know what? I'll take his last name and I'll just have that be my mother. I think that's a good compromise where it's not like it's just
a good compromise, but also it's about understanding the reasoning why, you know?
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the times.
Because it was like during the show, it was funny. They were like, did you just get married just to get on somebody's insurance? Like, that was like the whole, like, you know, how they like on those TV shows.
She wouldn't say that she wouldn't take his name. She just wouldn't take it like fully. She wanted to have a part of her name.
Yeah, she wanted to be hyphenated.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
I remember, listen, when you take on someone else's name, it's tough because as a woman, there's so much that, I don't know where she was in her life, but let's say you are a 30, 40-year-old woman who is established, right?
Yeah.
And you have to change your name.
Yeah.
There's so much that you have to do.
I mean,
you have your social and your ID and things like that, which is important, but there's so much more to just that. You got to go through and change your insurance. You have to update all these different things that a man doesn't have to do at all unless you're the person who's changing your name, which in the U.S., that's highly unlikely. People do it, obviously, because we're in the land of the free.
Yeah.
But it's not too often that a man changes his name. And I think that if men knew how hard it was to do that,
yeah,
then it would be a different conversation for sure.
Yeah. I can respect that. I mean, I've seen the process of, you know, my wife changing her last name. I mean, her maiden name is actually her middle name as well. So she actually did that. It wasn't ever, but that's something that she wanted to do.
Right. Some women don't have a sentimental, like, value to their last name.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
But some do.
Yeah.
You know, if she was a doctor, right?
Yeah.
And she was a well-established cardiologist.
Yeah.
I don't think that she would have changed her name.
Yeah.
Or fully took on the name. I mean, maybe. I don't know, because I don't know her personality that well. But I would think that if you went through all this school with all these accomplishments and this is what you're well known as and you're like one of the top doctors in the country doing this.
Yeah.
And you change your name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would want to do that if I was that well-established, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a level.
I agree. I think it's an interesting conversation because everybody has their different, like, outlook on that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some people, you know, agree. Some people, you know, especially, like, from a man, from a woman's perspective, how they view it. And all the different variables that are in play of why they would want to either keep their name or they're just okay with
it. And it's culture, too. Yeah. So, like, in some cultures, the man and the woman don't carry the last name. You can be married, but y'all might not have the same last name.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. That's what I said. I mean, it's just
cultures, you don't even have the same last name as your parents.
Yeah.
You know, so it's so many different factors. I mean, it really just depends on many different factors and how you work that situation out. But a simple exchange for exchange, I can understand that mentality.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought that was funny. That made me think about what we were just talking about, you know, that scenario. And then I guess we could segue that, you know, speaking of reality TV shows and love and all that, to Love is Blind.
Oh, wait. Before we go there, because we were just speaking about Hampton University, and I was going to say this earlier, but you guys need to check out this movie called Kimba. It's on BET Plus. It's a great movie. If you're from the 757, there's this woman who she went to Howard or Hampton, One of the two. Look, one of the two. I think it's Howard. I think she went to Howard University.
Okay.
And she met this thug.
Well, I think it's Hampton. No, I think you said you're going to Howard next week.
Hold on.
Well, I think the person went to Hampton.
Hold on.
I haven't seen the movie like you've seen the movie, but I think you said Hampton.
Sorry, y'all, for the bit. She went to Hampton University. That's correct. Okay. So she went to Hampton University, and she met this young man who portrayed himself as a good boy, but he was really a thug who sold drugs. And back then in the state of Virginia, this was like it was in the 90s, so it wasn't too far away, too long ago. She was charged kingpin years for dealing with him. She never sold the drugs. She never touched the drugs. She never did anything with drugs. But when he died, and because they couldn't get him because of his death, they put all the charges on her.
Now, question, can you say you saw the movie, right?
Yeah.
So in the movie, did they portray her like, did she never not know?
No, she knew.
Oh, okay. Well, so then that makes sense then.
She did. She walked in on it, but then he started to hide stuff from her.
Gotcha. But she knew, though.
The movie to understand. But yeah, so she didn't know for a long time. But by the time she found out, she was in love and he was abusing her.
Yeah.
He basically was telling her, like, if you leave, something's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
So it was that catch 22 of being afraid and, you know.
That sounds like it's very similar to being like, you know, because I remember even in high school, my parents would tell me this. As well, that's like being in a car with somebody who got drugs on them. You may be an innocent bystander. Maybe y'all going to a party together.
And her parents and her knew that she wasn't, I guess you could say she wasn't innocent. Like, she understood, like, hey, I'm probably going to go to jail because I was affiliated with him. But it was unfair to get his kingpin charge on her. She got 24 years.
Yeah.
More than most murder cases at that time.
I've always thought, in general, not even in Virginia, I've heard a lot of stuff in Virginia, but in general, I've always thought, like, the amount of time you get for killing someone versus the amount of time you get for drugs, it's crazy to me. Like, I've never understood, you know what I'm saying, like, how you can get same amount of time, maybe even more time for selling drugs than time for actually taking someone's life. Like, this is kind of crazy.
It is. And there's an attorney by the name of Elaine Jones from Norfolk.
Okay.
She was an attorney here in Norfolk, and she took on the case, and she ended up trying to appeal it. The appeal was denied, but the president issued a clemency.
Yeah.
So it's a good movie. It's a good watch. Obviously, I left out a lot of details. I did give you some good ones, but
I'm
you should definitely check it out, especially if you live in this area, because I didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know nothing about it.
I was young. I was looking at the, you know, because it gives you the dates, everything that's happening throughout the movie or whatever, and I understood why I didn't hear about it because I was so young during the time. I mean, when she got released from jail, it was in 2000. I was in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
So I really wasn't looking. If I don't watch news now, you just imagine how much I watched it back then. Like, I have to purposely go looking for stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not the person who wakes up in the morning and turns the news on and just lets it play.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of love, now we can jump, because she was in love, crazy in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can jump right into Love is Blind.
Yeah, so this past week, I think it was Wednesday, they did the reunion show for Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
They did like a live, it was recorded, but it was like, you know, it didn't release until 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
A little bit past my bedtime, right. So I had to sacrifice some sleep hours to check this out. But this show I've been pretty locked on, for the last couple of years. it was pretty good. What is your takeaway? I liked how they had, you know, like the cast. I mean, they normally have the cast, but I liked how they brought like people back from previous seasons to kind of sit there and kind of chime in. I know you said you haven't watched like a lot of the other seasons before, but
no.
You know, some of the other seasons that I have seen, it was pretty cool to kind of see like where those folks were. You know, some of them are still married, some of them are having babies and things.
I'm shocked to see the one that's from last year not on there.
Said who?
The tall guy.
Oh yeah, Milton.
Milton and.
Yeah. I can't remember her name. Smash Girl, though.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that they weren't there. But I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of seasons they've had. I mean, they probably, you know, just diversified it throughout some different of the season, you know, different seasons or whatever. Maybe their schedule was a conflict. I don't know.
True. That is true.
Yep.
And isn't the African guy and the white girl, they came from the same season as Milton, right?
No. No, they came from the season before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were in Seattle. Yeah, they were in Seattle. That was, that Seattle season was pretty good. That black couple,
so where was Milton in? Was that the season?
Nah, that was...
Texas.
Yeah, that was Houston. That's what it was. Yeah, yep. Yeah, that was
I didn't think about that. But yeah, so jumping right in, I was very shocked to see... the guy that Chelsea was dating, the Mullock man.
Trevor. Oh, my gosh.
I was shocked. I was not anticipating, like, out of all the things I've seen on social media and the outcome of things and all the promoting and all the different videos and things like that, I was very shocked to see him caught in that lie.
Yeah.
I was. Yes. Yeah. And when it was almost like
my man got stuck. You see that? My man had like a computer. He was like a computer. It just froze. Right. My man was just like, yo. He just like stopped. Like he literally sat there for like a minute. Yeah. He was like, can I just go?
You want to know what's funny? That's exactly how my daughter is. But she get in trouble. She is just like when she gets in trouble, it's like she's like. Looking around like
process. Yeah, like she's trying to hide, but she can't move.
Maybe if I just be quiet, they'll go away.
Oh man. Yeah. When I see Buddy, man, I was like, yo, like, he was struggling. But I mean what I will say is he admitted to most of the stuff. I mean, he was put on the spot. He tried to answer the questions as best he could, man. But that joint was just funny to me, man. He just had to the kitchen was hot, so he had to go.
Yeah.
He got out of there, man.
He was embarrassed.
Yeah.
100%. Being, and then I was actually surprised to see Jimmy come for Jeremy. Because he was kind of pissed.
Yeah, he was.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
And I'm going through the shockers because I feel like these are things that I just didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
First.
But so. I guess Jeremy said like some stuff about him though. So I mean, Jimmy just kind of checked him. You know what I mean? I think it was appropriate. It wasn't like he was just like being ignorant, you know what I mean? I think Jimmy was appropriate with his comments, you know, about Jeremy, and I guess, you know what I'm saying? I think he said something about, like, I can't remember exactly what he was, but, you know, Jimmy was going through it at the, you know, in the pods and everything like that, and Jeremy was like, well, at least my time isn't worse than Jimmy's or whatever. So it was kind of mean, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Yeah.
I was also shocked to see that Mr. 26-year-old principal is now really close friends to.
I was very shocked by that one.
That shocked about that one. I
was very shocked. Yeah, I'm surprised. Like with them, for me, like I was shocked. Like they said, they talk every single day, and like I don't know.
And then when they asked them, well, what are you gonna do when you get in relationships? And they talked about like that just a few days prior. To me, it. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. She's been to the school. She's acting like a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think she really likes him.
I do, too. When you go through that process, I mean, you have those conversations, like, you and you're vulnerable. You're that vulnerable with those folks, you know, with those conversations. I mean, like, I forget who said it, but I felt like that was really good. I think it was Clay that said it. Or, no, Jess said it. She was like, Jimmy would forever hold a piece of her heart. Like, I feel like when you're in those situations and you get that experiment with each other, I feel like even though you may not be together, like, I feel like that's like a special type of thing that you're always going to have with that person.
Yeah.
And I feel like because, I guess, the dude Kenneth and Brittany is her name. Kenneth and Brittany are both single. I'm assuming maybe not seriously dating anybody. You know, they have that connection. And so, therefore, they're just like not exploring it to the fullest, but they're still just kind of like, you know, hanging out, kicking it, being real friendly because they've been that, you know, they've had that special, you know, bond, I guess you can say. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a true eye opener because it was like.
And they did barely any talking too. Like they had like 5 minutes of the whole hour and a half of the episode.
Correct. Yeah. That they aired.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? That they aired. Sure.
But I was, it's just funny to see how like when I look at a man who has to get into a commitment, how scared they are and how like withdrawn they can be. But then when there's no commitment, mm-hmm. you could be the best of friends with someone. Mm-hmm. Seeing that live and in action is just.
Yeah.
It's a eye opener for some of y'all.
Hey.
Really?
For some of y'all. I feel like y'all. You're talking about men right now. You know what I mean?
No? No. I mean.
Just in general?
Honestly, in men general, and men and women.
Okay.
Women need to recognize, you know, when.
Yeah.
And men need to check themselves because
yeah. Women too. It can go both ways, but they could. Women, there be just, you know, a lot of times, I guess the old traditional way is like, you know, a man, you know, like if it seems like it's always assumed that the woman is ready first, and then the man has to come be ready to then now make it a full commitment or a full marriage. But you'd be surprised. There's a lot of situations out there where there may be a man ready and the woman is not ready to commit. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's just not talked about that much. It's always talked about it from the reverse of that.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? That's true. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
And then moving on, let me see, what was the other shocker? I knew Jess was going to go in on Jimmy. I was just waiting because she just gave me that vibe during the time that they spent in the pods, you know, but he did lie and she was able to check him. And
you ever see they had the time stamps on the chest?
I was like,
he was like, it was 10 minutes, man. Jason, like 1:50. Right. So I was like,
and
yo,
he
said it, well, it felt like 10
hours.
Minutes. Yeah. He said, well, it felt like 10 minutes. I'm like, bruh, like, come on,
get your lie together. You can't, you can't get away with
it. It seemed like they were cool up until, I guess he
did that interview.
The interview, yeah, and he had talked about some things.
And I seen an outside interview where he said that he would potentially date AD.
I saw about that too.
And I was like.
And then they reverted back to, I do remember that conversation they had on the show. You know, he was like, oh, I forget how he said it, but you could tell the look he had. You know, obviously he saw AD and he thought she was cute. And so it was a friendly encounter at the time. I mean, it was a little bit inappropriate, but, you know, I could tell he didn't want to close the door. I think the person asked him that, like, hey, you know, would you date her or whatever? And he didn't want to say no.
Yeah. Now, did you watch those? I sent Brian some videos so we could talk about it on the podcast. And it was videos of Jeremy's ex-girlfriend and her story behind when she dated him. Did you get a chance to watch
that? I did not get a chance to watch that. My bad.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
He did address that, though. He did say that. I don't know if you saw that, but no, I'm saying he addressed like that. I think the rumor was out there that he was engaged.
No, this is not this. No, no, this is a different person.
Oh, a whole different person. Yeah. My bad. So okay. Excuse me.
He was the girl he was supposedly engaged to who had the child.
Yeah.
She was a dark haired girl.
Okay.
I can't really describe her beyond that.
Okay.
But this woman supposedly is someone that he dated when he first got into his family business.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, this was a while back.
Okay.
She said like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a while back. Okay. So basically, she back then, she was into fitness and she was doing like the competitions and stuff. And so the particular supplements that she needed during that time frame was in one of his stores.
Okay.
And that's how they met.
Okay.
So then they became friendly, and he then asked her to, like, be a part of some type of promotion. Then eventually it got to her working in the store, and all of this started in a different state. They weren't even in, I think it was in Florida.
Okay.
And then apparently he was very, what did I say? It's not apparently. What should I say? Allegedly,
mm-hmm.
he was very, he yelled at her and did like things to her that were very mean, right? Yeah. And then I guess that wasn't enough because they ended up moving to Charlotte together. And at this point, they had started to live together.
Okay.
And there was a particular incident where she had to call the police because he had pulled out a gun on her.
Oh, wow.
According to the story, allegedly, but told by her.
Okay.
And it was very scary, right, okay, to hear. But then as I was watching, so that's why I told you to watch those videos.
My bad,
it was
yeah.
Like four, I want to say they weren't, I mean, it was TikTok videos, so they couldn't have been no more than maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
And it was four of them. But listening to him and Sarah Ann, right?
Yeah, they talked.
And how they have been back and forth, and Chelsea yeah. was the one who confirmed, like, hey, I seen you twice, dude, and I asked if you were still with Sarah, and you told me no.
Yeah.
It kind of describes the relationship that he had a while back.
Yeah.
And that toxic relationship, it sounds almost very similar. And I was like, whoa, like that was an eye opener.
Yeah, I think so my takeaway, I mean, obviously I didn't see the videos, but, you know, just speaking on Jeremy and Sarah Ann, their relationship, I wasn't surprised that they're together. Like I said,
I wasn't surprised.
I would have been on them jet skis. Yeah, yeah. And it was pretty cool that they showed the conversation that Sarah Ann, because obviously during the show they didn't have that, but they showed the conversation that Sarah Ann had with what's her name? What's the girl named?
Laura.
Laura, yeah, yeah. So they showed that conversation with her, like addressing her, talking to her about it and everything. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wasn't surprised about Jeremy and Sarah Ann being together. And I could just tell, like, they're both high energy, like, people mm-hmm. that, like, I feel like they like to try to get emotional, you know, chatty, loud. Like, I see that. They have that commonality, and I can see when you put two people like that together that are very opinionated, got something to say, like how that can be combustible. I can really see that.
Yeah.
But I can also see like they have a lot of those similarities, so they like each other
attractive.
Too. You know what I mean? So it's kind of one of them things where it's like they like each other a lot. They obviously said they love each other, but it's like I don't know if it's going to be something that's going to be the best for both of them long term.
You know what it sounds like? It's some people in this lifetime that think that because this person is passionate, right,
yeah.
in their words,
yeah.
in their actions, and passion equates to being batshit crazy, and they like that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. oh, I know this person loved me because they tore up a whole room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Having self-control and all that stuff, like, that's an asset, too. Like, because I ain't going to tear up no room and do no crazy stuff like that. Like, I can love who I love, but, like, look, I value myself and all of that, too, man. So I like to conduct myself accordingly. But I agree. What you're saying is very accurate.
Yeah. So I think that with them, that's the type of passion that they like about each other, is that they can go to the next level, and that's equivalent to them as love, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I can understand that.
Now, our two star players.
Yeah. Get your shoulders ready by checking the game. Look at your star players.
The fact that Clay was sitting there like this the whole
time. Yeah, man.
The whole time.
My man, look, man, I'm gonna have some words. I want you to get yours off first, man. I'm gonna talk about my brother Clay, man. I'm gonna let you go ahead and talk.
He was sitting there like this. Yeah. He was sitting there so proud and noble.
Yeah, he was.
I said, bruh, chill. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's about to attack you. And the fact that AD just kept looking back at him for, like, I don't know what she was looking for. She was looking for, like before she spoke, she would have to look at him to see if it was okay to provide that information.
Yeah.
And it just gave that they were still dealing with each other.
For real, do you? I don't think so.
I do. Not dealing with each other dating, but dealing with each other.
Nah, I think it's a situation.
Things.
That, yeah, I guess. For me, I don't think that at all. I actually think that it's one of them situations where, because we know the dynamic of why they are where they are, right? They were together. They were supposed to get married. Clay's not ready yet. He made that known.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke AD's heart. And, like, I feel that they both want to kind of let the door open. Like, they don't want to completely shut the door of them potentially being together. So they're very calculated on, very calculated on what they say, because they don't want to say something that could, like, break them from potentially having a future with that person. Mm. That's the conversation that I saw, like, or how the dynamic was. It's like, because you don't want to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I know we're not together. I'm trying to heal. He's trying to heal in his way. She's trying to heal from the embarrassment and all that she felt.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that they kicking it and chilling like that or nothing like that. I think it's a situation where it's like, hey, that might be my person. Maybe just not right now. So I don't want to say anything. I'm going to answer these questions that are being asked to me, but I don't want to say anything that can hurt her even more in the state that she's in, because I want to make sure that if there is a future, like, I don't put it in a worse situation or worse shape than what it is right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I took that situation.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
That's why she kind of looked back, was like, want to see his body language. Like, is you hurting when I'm saying certain things? Do I need to say, like, the private stuff? Like, do I need to just kind of give it, like, just a generalization answer? Like, you know, that's kind of the vibe I got, man. My brother, Clay, I'm just going to speak on Clay real quick, man. I'm happy for him, man, because he's been getting beat up in the media, man. Like, I've seen a lot of people, I'm not just going to say women, mostly women, but a lot of people just like, just saying a whole bunch of negative stuff about him, man. And I don't know. I just don't feel that a lot of the narrative that's been put out there is very accurate about him. I feel like his truth and how he feels about it, he's been very honest about his emotions and how he feels about the situation. And it's just like, people are like, oh, you knew this. You just trying to be this. You were just doing this for this. Like, nah, I think my man really thought he was ready to get married. And once he got put into that situation, a lot of his insecurities and things that he has never been able to overcome, or he may not even know that was there, came out. Yeah. And I feel like he knew that he didn't want to mess up. He saw what a messed up marriage looked like firsthand.
Yep.
And so he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to repeat that cycle, as they say, right? Those generational curses, as they say. And so he wasn't ready. So he's not going to tell a woman yes when he knows he wasn't ready. And a lot of times what people don't understand is, man, when you're single and you're not with someone, like, you don't really fully, like the 100% know, like, your issues that you have, because nobody's holding you accountable. You don't have that spouse or that partner that's like, you know, has to react to how you feel, has to react to how you do things, right? So you can feel certain things.
He's been in relationships before, because I've seen the ex-girlfriends comment, and
I'm not saying, look, that's different. Again, I'm talking about marriage. We're not talking about relationships. This is a different thing. You could be in a relationship.
But you could be in a relationship if somebody can hold you accountable, right?
Yeah, but again, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about marriage, though, because marriage, because you can be in a relationship, right, and somebody can hold you accountable. But if it's a situation where, hey, you don't like it, you out. Well, you can leave. Like, marriage, like, there's, like, you have to be able to navigate certain situations and certain, like, differences and, you know, commonalities that you, it's just a different level of it. And and that's what I'm saying. Like, so I think he knows that, right? And you don't really know if you can do that until you're in situations where those are presented. And I feel like you could be in a relationship with somebody, and that's why he wanted to kind of stay in a further relationship with her, not get married yet, because he still wanted to, like, work on those things about himself. And, you know, I just want to say, man, I appreciate him standing up. He even made that comment about the dude that was in the previous season, who is a really good dude. You could tell they had, like, a moment. I mean, from the brotherhood, man.
That was cool.
I actually ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a very honest person. I actually kind of shedded a tear on that joint.
I did, black man.
Like, I was just like, yo, that vulnerability and having those conversations and recognizing somebody, like, hey, he was like, yo, I want to be like that. And he said that was the moment where he was like, yo, he knew he wasn't ready, because he's not at that level yet, right? And that's what I'm saying. Like, he just wasn't there. And as a man, as a fellow black man who's married, you can tell, man, when another gentleman, another man is ready for that commitment. And that's what I was trying to say the whole time. Is like, you can tell he's just not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
he wants to be, but he
wants to be, but he's just not there. You know what I mean? So I just appreciate that moment that they had, and just the conversation and their vulnerability. And, you know, Clay speaking how he really feels. And I know people in the media and social media is going to say whatever, man, but I just think that was a little wrong.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then our last couple to talk about is Chelsea and Jimmy, I think. Them together, Chelsea and Jimmy. Yeah.
And
they're
on the show, there, they kind of was like looking like they were still kind of like kicking it a little bit. But I mean, I looked into it a little bit. I seen that they're not dealing with each other.
No, they not. I think they're just cool. I think that the dynamic.
She kept like holding her like his leg and holding it. Like it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like it seemed like they were still, I know they weren't married or nothing like that, but it seemed like they were still kind of at least like kicking it with each other or whatever, you know, so.
I kind of got that vibe that Chelsea tried something with Trevor.
Oh, for real?
I didn't. She was the first person to be like, what they asked something and she was like, well, I got something to say. And they were like, you know.
I didn't catch that. No, I didn't catch that.
Oh, okay. And I just was like, well, why would she say that when that ain't the person that you went to the altar with?
You know?
Or even makes got sense. To the next level with. You didn't even make it out the pods with this person.
Yeah.
You know, so I was very shocked to see that. And I'm also glad that Jess, the one girl from the old, what's her name? The one who was dating Mr. America, the Captain America.
You said who?
She dated Captain America. You remember Captain America, right? Who always wore the flag?
Yeah.
She was on the episode on Wednesday night as a brought back guest. She was sitting next to Izzy.
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about, yeah. Okay. I can't remember her name either, yeah.
Yeah, so she, Jess and Izzy, they're now doing a new show together.
Yeah, calling The Perfect Match. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched it fully.
I've never watched it.
But I've seen. I don't
watch any other.
Yeah, I've seen it on Netflix. I actually kind of caught like a half of an episode because I was clicking through and it had a person that was on Love is Blind on there. And it's called The Perfect Match. So I was thinking that it was kind of like maybe like something similar to like what Love is Blind is, but it's totally different. It's just basically all the people who didn't have successful relationships, I guess you can call like on the reality TV show. They all kind of are just hanging out trying to match up with each other. Just kind of, I don't know. It just seems like, it's kind of like.
Good TV.
Yeah, it's like, do you remember, what's the name of the show? Yeah, there you go. I was going to say MTV, where they just put everybody in the same house and you gotta match up with everybody. You know what I mean? Then like people get kicked off. They do competitions. They start to figure out who they like and stuff, and they hook up with each other and stuff. I don't know. It just seems kind of like, I like a true good love story. And they just kind of like just out there just having fun, lusting and stuff, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that is now all the time that we have for today. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. You can follow me at SKB_mortgage.
And you can follow me at Brian_Royster.
All right, guys. See you next week.
See you next week.